Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Jersey Mike's Month of Giving for 200 charities in this country. Go to a local store and check it out, or to learn more, you could go to jerseymikes.com. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. Bucky Brooks, former NFL defensive back, drafted by the Bills in the second round, free agency is up and running, and he is now joining me live. You know, it's just, you know, I say, alcohol and money make you more of what you are, and the Jets have cap space, and they spend a ton of it on just two players, Carl Lawson, who's okay, but they gave him a lot of money, and then Corey Davis, who drives me nuts. I think he's a huge talent, and then New England becomes more of what they are. They just spread it around. They got 9-10 guys. I prefer New England's approach. Your thoughts on what you see from New England, the big picture on what they're actually doing, Bucky, with all these free agents?
Yeah, I think the New England Patriots are kind of finding their identity in this new era post-Tom Brady. And so they signed Cam Newton to really a very modest deal, very modest. And they're building up all of the pieces around them. And I think when you look at when the Patriots have really been at their best, it's because they've been able to run multiple tight end formations, going all the way back to when Rob Gronkowski and the late Aaron Hernandez was there. They have been at their best when they can put two big bodies on the field and move them around to manipulate the way the defense has to defend them. I also believe that Bill Belichick and the staff, they've looked and they peeked and seen some of the things that the Baltimore Ravens have been able to do successfully, particularly in the regular season, to control the game. And so for an organization and a franchise that prides themselves in playing complimentary ball, they've now utilized all of their free agency currency to put them in a position to be one of the best complimentary football teams. Great run game, multiple tight end sets, so they can play heavy when you're playing with your nickel packages. And then they got veterans to come to that defense. I think what you're seeing is a New England Patriots team that is forming their identity of being a physical ground and pound team that can go back to playing really good defense and win a bunch of close games.
Okay, so the Jets have a history. C.J. Mosley, Le'Veon Bell, Trumaine Johnson. They don't sprinkle it around. They go for big hits. And I looked at these signings and I thought, this feels very Jets to me. Your thought?
Well, I mean, I think what they're doing is, I think the general manager, Joe Douglas, went in and assessed that they don't have a lot of talent all over the board. So they need to get some critical positions taken care of. So to get Carl Lawson to give them an energetic pass rusher. And even though the stat sheet will say he only had 5.5 sacks last year, he was one of the more disruptive edge rushers that was available on the market. They get Jared Davis to put at inside linebacker because C.J. Mosley has not been available the past 2 years. And then Corey Davis on the outside. We've complained for years that they haven't given Sam Darnold or any quarterback that is going to play a dominant receiver on the outside. They're taking a chance that his talent will be realized because, remember, he's a top five pick. There are a lot of people that thought he was going to be a dominant player at the next level. Maybe New York feels like in this new system that they'll be able to maximize his talents.
Does this tell you they're keeping Darnold or moving him? What are these moves? Like that Corey Davis moved. Is there any sign here that I should pick up on?
I don't know. I still think it's TBD. I think if they do proceed with Sam Darnold, then the first thing in the draft would be bypass the quarterback, go beef up the offensive line, get two guys on the outside, Penei Sewell or even Rashawn Slater to go opposite Mekhi Becton, be able to create a fortress in front of Sam Darnold if he's your quarterback so he can have a level of success or you can evaluate him. The thing with Sam is the fifth-year option comes up, and you're talking about $18-plus million that you would have to commit. What do you want to do with him? Do you believe enough in him that he's going to develop in the system that you have? We saw Baker Mayfield do it in a similar system. Do the Jets believe that Sam Darnold can make a similar jump?
Yeah. So Ryan Fitzpatrick to the Washington football team. What's that telling me?
I don't know. I'm not necessarily in love with it. I know Ryan Fitzpatrick has become a feel-good story because I think all of us, particularly as we age out, we love seeing the old guy have his shot. He's a common man. He comes in there and he throws caution to the wind and throws the ball all over the yard. The problem with that it might have worked out well at times for the Dolphins. He is turnover prone. He is going to turn the ball over. And so if you're a Washington football team that is built on the defense dominating, he can put the ball in harm's way. If he turns it over, it puts this team in peril because there's not a lot of weapons on offense. Yeah. They can't play come from behind ball. I don't know. It kind of kicks the can down the road. I can't say that Ryan Fitzpatrick is a better player than Alex Smith. So I don't know. It's more of the same for me when I look at the Washington football team.
So Gronk's going to run it back. They got, you know, Godwin's a franchise tag. Shaq Barrett signed. Levante David. Are you surprised Tampa was able to get everybody, you know, arms around everybody?
No, not at all. I think it all starts at the top with the quarterback. When the quarterback is committed to making sure that he has enough around him to win, then the team can build a team around him that enables him to win. When Tom Brady will take below market deals or kind of reconfigure his contract to make it where they have cash to spend to keep everybody, they win. He has figured it out probably better than most quarterbacks in the league that he needs a team around him to be successful. And as we saw in the Super Bowl, he didn't play at an A level in the Super Bowl, but he played good enough with a dominant defense to be able to win. And I've heard you talk about it. Year two of the Buccaneers is scary because they won the Super Bowl without it all coming together during the regular season. Now that they know that they can win, this is when the fun starts for the team down in Tampa Bay.
So Shaq Griffin, the best corner for Seattle, is now a Jaguar. So Seattle, I thought the first thing they needed in the draft was a left guard and then a corner, and now they need two corners. And you got the quarterback complaining. I've always had kind of a rule, Bucky. The louder the postseason, the worse the season. Philadelphia has been loud the last 2 years. Dallas is always a little loud. Pittsburgh got loud. I feel like Seattle's the loudest offseason team, and now Shaq Griffin's gone. I mean, it's. I do think less of Seattle today. I do. Do you?
Oh, well, I mean, they're loud, but they're loud because of one player. They're loud because of Russell Wilson, not because of anybody in the organization is being loud. Russell Wilson has complained about not having what he deems to be acceptable players around him. And so I do think there's some big issues that have to be worked out when it comes to Russell kind of coming back and reworking himself into the locker room in terms of some of the comments and stuff that have been said. But I think the Seattle Seahawks will be fine. When Shaq Griffin is a good player, I wouldn't say that he's necessarily a great player. And I think at some point when you're in this free agent market, you have to evaluate bang for your buck. Am I getting the return on the investment? If I pay him big money, am I going to get that kind of play on the perimeter? And I think for the Seahawks, they didn't believe that they were going to get that kind of play in return. It might be different for him down in Jacksonville, but I think in Seattle, they felt like they could probably find better either in draft or later on their roster that can currently develop.
So I'm just going to throw a theory at you. If you ran the Niners, so one of the things you don't want to do in this league is just keep doing the same thing over and over and getting the same result. Garoppolo was hurt in week two of Deflategate, week two in San Francisco, week three in San Francisco, week two in San Francisco. His body, it's like Anthony Davis of the Lakers. He's not a guy going to give you 16, 17 weeks. That's the reality of his career. So they don't want to pay Trent Williams, the left tackle, big money. He's a great player, but he's $20 million. So they would love to take that 12th pick in a good OT class and get an offensive tackle. But then you got to have somebody behind Garoppolo, or you're going to Mullins again, and you're just, you know, the old Einstein theory. Same thing, you want different results. So this is why I keep looking at San Francisco and think, if I could give up a second-round pick for Darnold, and I would just tell Garoppolo, we're going to let you start for 8 weeks, we're going to trade you to a good franchise at the trade deadline, give us 8 weeks, because I honestly think you cannot – you can't go into a season without drafting a left tackle or Trent Williams with Garoppolo's health. I think Darnold's still the fit there. Your thoughts?
Oh, I think potentially he could be a fit because there were people in the building that really liked him when he was coming out. You think about this offense. I mean, we said it. He would be going from the same offense in New York to now the playing for the master in Kyle Shanahan. We have seen what this offense can do with quarterbacks who were struggling or who were average talents. Just look at what it was able to do, like in Cleveland. We saw Cleveland go from a team outside of the postseason to inside the postseason because the offense really helped the quarterback find his game. San Francisco can be similar, and I would say you have a better play caller and Kyle Shanahan. I think the big thing that the 49ers have to determine, what do they want to do long-term with Jimmy Garoppolo? We can take shots at Jimmy Garoppolo and what he hasn't been able to do and those things, but the record is different when he plays as opposed to when he doesn't play.
Right.
And do they believe they will be a better team long-term with Sam Darnold or another quarterback, or do they need to run it back with Jimmy Garoppolo and figure out a way to make him better by either upgrading the weapons around him or finding a way to put the play calls in his sweet spot so he can play at his best?
Bucky, good stuff. Appreciate it. Fox Sports NFL analyst, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Maybe I'm just rooting for Darnold. I think that his story deserves a happy ending.
You?
Hey, I'm human. You know, I'm here America's honesty broker, but sometimes, honestly, I'm rooting for a guy.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, as we just discussed with Bucky Brooks, the Jaguars are bringing in former Seahawks cornerback Shaquille Griffin, who was just on the show with us just a few days ago. He agreed to a three-year deal worth up to $44.5 million with $29 million guaranteed. Seattle reportedly made a strong push at the ends and got close to keeping him, but Griffin had strong offers from several teams and ultimately chose the Jags. The Seahawks are reportedly also making a run at Leonard Fournette. They released Carlos Dunlap, and they're making some moves this offseason, but I don't know if I love this. I would have liked to see him stay in Seattle.
He's been in the league 4 years. He made a Pro Bowl last year. He had a lot of picks.
He's a very productive ascending player.
Yeah, I mean, he's a borderline Pro Bowl corner for a team that is not great at corner and doesn't have a pass rush now that Carlos Dunlap's gone.
I do like this move for the Jags, though.
So do I. He's a good player.
This is one of those teams in the team we're going to talk about in a second that we're obviously going to be paying close attention to Trevor Lawrence, but I really want to see what Urban Meyer does. Not just this offseason, but I really want to see what he does in the draft.
I'm the same way. I think he's going to have a very productive draft.
So the Chargers got some more protection for Justin Herbert next season. They signed former Packers center Corey Linsley to a 5-year, $62.5 million deal.
This is a great signing for him.
In 2020, he earned first-team All-Pro honors and helped the Packers tie for second in the league with fewest sacks allowed.
Yeah.
They also signed former Steelers guard Matt Filer.
I don't know much about him.
To a 3-year, $21 million deal. He was the starting right tackle for the 2018 and 19 season, and then he moved to left guard for the 2020 season after Ramon Foster forced the line to reshuffle when he left. So he started 13 games and then went on injured reserve with a pectoral injury and came back for the playoff loss to the Browns. He played every single offensive snap of the 2019 season and 86% of the snaps in the 2020 season. So two really good signings in the offensive line for the Chargers.
So that's interesting now, because do they still need a left tackle? Because Trey Turner got released. So Lindsley's a Pro Bowl center. I think they still need... I actually still think they could go offensive line. They don't have a ton of needs. They're good at receiver. Now they lost Hunter Henry. What are the Chargers draft about? 11, 12, they're somewhere around there. Where do they draft? 14, 15? So I still think they go 13. So that's Kyle Pitts will be long gone. They don't need a quarterback.
You get an offensive lineman at 13.
There's three or four great tackles, so I think they'll still go. I think they'll go do that. They're going to bring in a couple guys in the league, bring in a rookie, and there you go.
I like that they're being aggressive in free agency for the offensive line, though. Yeah. You have a young quarterback. You don't have to pay him right now. So protect him. Get him some weapons. That's how it goes. Like, yeah. I cannot wait to see what Justin Herbert does next year in his second year in the league.
Yeah.
And I know there's like some jokes in there about Chargers fans, but we are assuming there's going to be fans in the stands.
There will.
this fall. So it's going to be a completely different environment for him here in LA. And, you know, I mean, Matthew Stafford's a big signing, but it kind of feels like...
Oh, no. He's...
The Chargers are the team right now in Los Angeles. We'll see what happens with the rest of the season.
Their O-line has been sort of the franchise liability last two or three years. So they brought Trey Turner in to solve it. He didn't have a great year. Then they had an injury at tackle. So this was kind of... We knew what they would address in free agency in the draft, and they went right after. Same with Cleveland.
If you have holes and you have a young quarterback, the offensive line should be the focus, like Cincinnati. So Tom Brady has found a new way to connect with fans. He posted a video on Twitter where he gave out a phone number that you can text him on. I know he reached out to you on Twitter during the alien controversy of a few weeks ago. So he laid out some ground rules for anyone who does want to reach out to him, though.
I've been talked into giving out my cell phone on the internet. So listen, rule number one, before we get into any of this, no texting on game days. Really though, what this is it's a tool that will allow me to communicate more directly with my fans and my followers. Sometimes it gets hard to sort through the "you suck, Brady" in the comments. I know there's quite a few of those over the years. It's usually from the Jet fans. But to be clear, if you do text me, "you suck," yes, I'll see it. And I may or may not respond.
It's a cute video. Tom did not give out his actual phone number.
It's a burner account or something?
It's like a service. A lot of celebrities do this where you can text them. And instead of... You know, it just makes it easier, like, if you want to send out some TB12 promotions, you send it directly to people that, like, opt into the texting service.
You know, I don't know
that it's going, it's probably an app, but it's not, like, popping up in his text messages.
It's too bad. Like, I used to take phone calls, but now I have a simulcast, so I don't take phone calls. And I filtered out fans on Twitter, because for every smart, thoughtful one with a great question, there's 9 dorks. So in the end, I don't really communicate with fans that much. I just do what I want to do now. And I would love to have a device where you could communicate with, like, people that have interesting questions. There's a place for that. I'm not sure if this phone thing is it. But there is. Like, when I used to take phone calls, cell phones ruined it because used to be people called you at home on a good phone line. Then last 10 years, it was all cell phones on bad phone lines.
Well, the problem with taking calls, because even when I was in local radio, we stopped taking calls unless it was like a contest or some sort of
so
like thing
bad.
That we filtered in. Yeah, because it's just, you think, I mean, we all know these guys, like they have a great thought and then they're like all excited about it. And then they get on air and they're like, well, hi guy, how are you today? Like,
that's bad.
No, we're good. We're at work. What's the question? And I'm with you. It's difficult. I don't think I'll be giving out my phone number on the internet, but it's a fun way to communicate. I get what you're saying. It's hard to connect with fans now. It's filtered through all the nonsense.
Well, you have to filter out all the nonsense on social media, so you can't communicate there.
I try to make an effort to talk to people.
Yeah, no, I used to. And I'm out of that.
Well, you know, you're on another level than me, Colin.
All right.
But yeah. Be nicer. Be nicer and smarter, and then we'll see.
Yeah. I've hired 2 people off Twitter.
No, there you go.
Twice I've hired somebody off Twitter because I thought they were genuinely funny. So
put some effort into your tweets. Yeah. And don't charge for them because we're not paying for them.
All right, Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Next and best for last, we play the 3-word game. NFL offseason edition. We start with the AFC.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Improve your diet, improve your life. Delicious, high-quality protein from ButcherBox. Sign up today, butcherbox.com/HERD. 3-word game. Off-season, you got new coaches, you got controversies, you got problems, you got solutions. Let's play the 3-word game in the AFC.
Buffalo Bills.
Run it back. They've not made any free agent acquisitions yet. Josh Allen led them to their first AFC championship game in 27 years. Only have a little cap money anyway, about $6 million. No reason for big moves.
Miami Dolphins.
Tua be determined. Tua had the second fewest passing yards among all qualified quarterbacks. He got benched twice in the fourth quarter. Ryan Fitzpatrick's gone. So it is a wait, hope he improves. Get him another receiver in the draft.
New England Patriots.
Bill shopping spree. Patriots tight end had the fewest catches and touchdowns in the NFL last year, so they went and bought Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, plus some others. Last 24 hours, they've spent $273 million.
New York Jets.
Get Sam out. Jets haven't had a 4,000-yard passer since Joe Namath in the late 60s. There's a reason. They hire bad coaches. They spend bad money on free agents. They always seem to have, like, one legitimate offensive lineman, and that's it. Get Sam out.
Baltimore Ravens.
Just keep running. Led the NFL in rushing and rush percentage each of the last 2 years. Only the 72 Dolphins have been at that pace, and the 72 Dolphins won a Super Bowl, and these guys are good. Let Lamar grow. They do need to address wide receiver, either in free agency or the draft.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Steal Big Ben? Lost 5 of their last 6. He looked tired. And in their last 10 playoff games, Ben Roethlisberger, 3 up, 7 down. That's his reality.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Burrow gets blocking. He was the most sacked quarterback through the first 7 weeks. They have the number 5 pick. They'll either go with Penei Sewell is an option. They will address the offensive line in this draft. My guess is multiple times. Cincinnati's never had great luck. They're fortunate, though, this year in that what they need, offensive tackles and offensive linemen, is plentiful in the draft.
Cleveland Browns.
Trade OBJ yet? He's their second largest contract. And the team got better when he got hurt. It was their first playoff win since the 90s. He's got value on the market. There is no question. But he is brittle, and he is expensive. And Jarvis Landry is such a dynamic wide receiver himself. It does feel like the one area they could move off a top player and gain help on the back end of their defense.
Tennessee Titans.
Pass rushers wanted. They signed Bud Dupree of Pittsburgh. He's not their best linebacker, but he's help. They had the third fewest sacks. And listen, Mike Vrabel's a really smart guy, and he can't generate a pass rush with his schemes. So they just don't have good enough personnel. So Bud Dupree got a little bit more money than Pittsburgh wanted to pay him. $85 million, 5 years. But he does have 20 sacks last couple of years. Now, some of that is because Pittsburgh's pass rush is so forceful. You got so many people you have to block. Sometimes Bud Dupree can get past that. He's gotten better over the last couple of years, though, as a player. There were some doubters early, but it's a good get for them.
Indianapolis Colts.
Once in a while. Listen, they had the number 7 offensive line last year. Last time Frank Reich and Carson Wentz were together, they were very good, and he played at a MVP level. I think we all believe that if Phillip Rivers can win 11 games, if Wentz can just get his accuracy back to some degree, it feels like an 11 or a 12-win team. Plus, it's a very winnable division. It's always a little sideways.
Houston Texans.
Have a problem. Actually, several. The head coach is over his skis. Deshaun Watson doesn't want to be there. Cap issues. They're $4 million under. They've given away too many good draft picks, and they've got a franchise quarterback who at this point is just saying, I'm not interested at all. They're not taking calls, reportedly. Nick Caserio is their new GM from New England. He's not even taking calls where Seattle at least is. So this thing is, the longer you wait with stars, the less you get back historically in the NBA and NFL.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Urban home rebuild. Listen, they've got the most cap space. They just signed Shaq Griffin. They got the number 1 pick. They're going to take that kid, Trevor Lawrence. And the 4 times Urban Meyer has gone to a new place, Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, Ohio State, they've seen their win totals increase in the first season. So he's got a plan. He's got a theory. He's got a point of view. Jacksonville, what's the ceiling on Urban Meyer in the NFL? I have no idea. but he's a winner, he's a culture creator, and he gets the best college quarterback maybe in the last 5 to 10 years out of the draft.
Kansas City Chiefs.
State Farm policy. They're rebuilding the offensive line, and they started with Joe Tooney, who has not missed a game in 5 seasons. They got 2 tackles they need. I wouldn't want to have to address both of those in the draft. I still think they can go out and sign somebody in free agency, but Tooney's a top 10 guard in the league. And again, they're late first round pick. They may move up, but they'll go for tackles in the draft. You can be assured of that.
Los Angeles Chargers.
Herbert fully charged. Listen, he set NFL rookie records for touchdown passes and yards and 300-yard gains and essentially everything you could. When he was given 5 minutes of a head-up, he was playing. And it was a bad offensive line. So what's Herbert now with a better offensive line in a second year with a preseason? My guess is outstanding. They just signed Corey Linsley, the Pro Bowl center from Green Bay. So Herbert gets a world-class center, a preseason, more reps. Should be good.
Denver Broncos.
Luck drew out. Drew Luck, lowest completion percentage in the NFL last year of quarterbacks who qualify. You can't win in this league throwing 57% completion rate. And I like Fant, the tight end. I like Jerry Jeudy. They got some players. So I think their weapons are good. Now, a couple of them are real young. But he throws a lot of picks. He plays kind of a casual style. A lot of balls kind of thrown up for grabs. And we've had enough rumors in Denver. We know they're not settling on him at this point. They will try to make a deal for somebody.
Las Vegas Raiders.
A Grud awakening. John Gruden's the only coach to miss the playoffs each of the last 3 years and still has a job. Now, he's going to have one for another 6 or 7 because it's a 10-year contract and Mark Davis absolutely loves him. But there are questions inside the organization. Notably, they get worse after Thanksgiving, which is the opposite of what really good teams do. You know, a lot of good teams, New England historically has struggled in September. You experiment, you play young guys. They've been bad down the stretch. And right now, defensively, they don't have a pass rush, and their secondary is not very redeemable. That's kind of a Tennessee combination. If you don't have a pass rush, you better have great corners, and they do not. Supplement I take every day is M-Drive, packed with powerful ingredients, backed by science, free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Check out mdriveformen.com today, and also Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shoppe all have it. Well, they call it the Save It for a Rainy Day, right? The Save It for a Rainy Day Fund in New England.
They had a rainy season.
And they're ready to go. The pandemic kind of screwed everybody's cap up, and they were ready to get rid of players and had a lot of space. So, listen, the one thing they did, you can't argue, their tight end situation is great today. It was a disaster last year. And Cam, in his big 15-1 year in Carolina, his leading wide receiver was actually Greg Olsen, the tight end. Ted Ginn was their speedy receiver, but they didn't have a very good receiving core. So what Cam works with is good running games and good tight ends and a good defense. That got him to a Super Bowl in Carolina. So Bill Belichick, who, by the way, struggled in a couple of different meetings with Cam Newton. Cam was very good, I think, at least twice, maybe 3 times, but twice I remember against him. So they're building an offense for Cam and or a mobile quarterback. Good run game, good O-line, excellent tight ends, and sprinkle in a few B receivers. Good stuff. Joy and I will see you tomorrow live in Los Angeles. It's The Herd.